Hello and welcome to another episode of the Successful Homeownership Show with your host Richard McKenzie out of the greater Cincinnati area and Northern Kentucky, as well as greater Dayton areas. And this episode is going to be a little different. I want to call this episode Why. What do I mean by that? Well, we get asked a lot of questions when people call to schedule inspections. We get asked a lot of questions when we are at the inspection. We get asked questions, which is perfectly normal and acceptable, after inspections, where people call and ask for some clarification on an item or need more information, etc. And along the way of becoming a home inspector, one asks oneself, why? Why is it done this way, etc.? So what I want to try to do in this episode is cover as many whys as I can. And I'm probably going to be like a pinball machine where you can't really predict where the next movement's going to come from and so forth. And for those of you out there who are really young and don't know what a pinball machine is, well, it's the old mechanical version of your video games before video games existed, for to go into an arcade and try to put a quarter into a machine or a nickel or whatever the heck it was, I don't know, and have fun with that arcade game. So, that being said, why? Why? Let's start out with, why am I a home inspector? Well, everybody has a career path that they start with. You go to high school, maybe you have some post-high school education, maybe you have some college education, college degrees, maybe even multiple degrees. However, along the way, you get into a career path, whether you maybe were an engineer or worked on houses, maybe you were you built houses, maybe you were even a real estate agent at one time. And somehow, some way, somebody asks you about home inspection and it becomes attractive to you and you learn all about it and you pursue that career. So my personal path of why I am a home inspector, I just really like being helpful. We are basically helping people with the biggest purchase of their life, to navigate the waters, the scary waters with sharks underneath the surface, and trying to get you through that purchase and help you make independent decisions based on the information that we give you during the inspection. So why am I a home inspector? Again, wanting to be helpful has taken me from a path of working for different companies as an engineer, as a large-scale facilities and otherwise large project manager, to becoming a real estate agent, to because I wanted to manage other people's properties, and working on houses and so forth. So all that combined led me to a career in home inspection. So that is my why. And going to a different site every day as a home inspector, I get to start with a new client every day. So my customers are new every day. My office, if you will, is a new location every day. All these things make this career to me very exciting. And I simply love helping people find things out about the house, give them information, and that leads me to the second why. Why do you point out positive things about the house also? Well, that's kind of a loaded question. It's not really a why. I just want to point out that our company does point out the positives also. Wouldn't you hate it if you went to a home inspection and all you heard about was the things that were wrong with the house? You would feel like, gosh, am I buying the right house? So you want to also point out the positives. That also leads me to, what is the purpose of a home inspection? Well, a home inspection is specifically an assessment of that property without being invasive, without being destructive. In other words, we can't go And why can't you move all the stuff out of the garage so you can inspect all of the spaces and see behind everything? Because we are held to licenses for our company, the state of Ohio, for our Kentucky location, the state of Kentucky license. And we have to follow these standards, and we have ASHI, NACHI certifications. So they all have different certification rules and regulations that they follow. And one of them is, it is a non-destructive. Can't pull people's carpet up and detach it from the floor, and can't move people's personal items out of the way. That happens to be an example when you are trying to look at an electrical panel and there's a framing around it, and the framing is screwed in, painted, caulked, and it catches the edges of the metal cover for the electrical panel, the main cover, and we can't get that sucker off. There's no way without destroying the wall or destroying the framework that somebody has built around in their basement or their garage. I hate it when that happens, but it does happen. So again, why do we also, we have the certifications, okay? We have the licenses, and you have to have standards. So why do you have standards? Because if you didn't have a set of standards, rules that you follow with an inspection, much like a CPA does for accounting, much like a lawyer does, much like a doctor does, okay? They have certifications, they have licenses, and you have to follow those. Then you are left with an unrealistic expectation set of things that people want you to do. And they may be above and beyond what is possible. So, in other words, let's say we were at a house and there's an item that is behind the master bedroom bed, like two windows, for example. This has happened before, and the master bedroom headboard is blocking two windows. Are we supposed to climb on top of somebody's master bedroom bed and open those windows? Well, unfortunately, that's not going to happen. That's something that you can put or you can ask for your 48-hour walkthrough when everything has been moved out of the house. You can ask your real estate agent to get you one more look at the house within 48 hours of closing, because there were some stored items in the garage. There were some stored items in the garage. There were some spaces that we were not able to access. And when we are at the house, we are doing as much of the house as we possibly can without being totally exhaustive, which we can't do. And by the way, the different licenses and certifications that we're held to all say these things. So we are held to the Ohio license. We are in whatever state that you're in. I think there's a few states out there that still don't have licenses. But there are certifications, and most inspectors are held to those certifications, which is good. So it is important that you know why these things are. Okay, so let's cover a few more whys. Why do you have an inspection agreement? See, you pull the thread and one why leads to the next why. So that's kind of how this works. Each inspection company, if they are a decently reputable company, is going to have a set of expectations, and you get the client to agree to those set of expectations. And it is really important to complete those, to complete that agreement before you do the inspection, because you want to make sure. So for each inspection, again, you want to make sure that the client has signed the inspection agreement. And that means that they do understand the expectations, that it's a non-invasive inspection, it's not destructive. It is going to be a representation of what we observed that day. In other words, there could be a 90-mile-an-hour windstorm with straight-line winds that knocks off the shingles on one side of the house, and that was 12 hours after the inspection. These things can and do happen. So it is, again, an assessment of the what we observed on the day of the inspection. Okay, so that's why we have the inspection agreement. And I would say that if you don't have an inspection agreement, that you are kind of shooting from the hip as an inspector, and it's really important to be pretty well organized as a professional company. And why do you look at yourself as a consultant? Great question. I pulled the thread and that question came along. Yes, we have specialized knowledge. Where's that knowledge from? From years and years and years of working with houses. That gives us a lot of specialized knowledge that, say, a general contractor who only does windows or a general contractor who only does roofs. We are a general care practitioner with a wealth of information about houses that we are able to observe a house under normal conditions and see things that most people would not. We hear a lot of times we go in the house and we point something out. Oh, I didn't see that. I didn't notice that. That's because the eyes of a buyer are looking to where they're going to put their master bedroom bed, where they're going to put their sectional couch, where they're going to fit their dining room table. We are looking at the house with a whole different set of eyes. And that, over years, has built up experience. And with experience comes the ability to be a consultant. So when a client pays us to inspect the house, we are their consultant. And why should I be at my inspection? Great question. I'm glad you asked that. You should be at your inspection because you are paying us to be your consultant. With that consultancy, you have bought a certain amount of time and experience to be with us. And it is very important to be with the inspector to hear that information. And therefore, you take in a lot more information and you learn a lot more to help you be successful for the future if you are there versus if you are not. So please definitely attend your inspection for sure. All right, next question. Why do you use certain tools? Super good question. One of the things that we really like to use are the telescoping ladders. They are very common with home inspectors to have those, and they always get a lot of comments. But quite honestly, all home inspectors don't have huge pickup trucks or vans and so forth. Some do, some don't. These telescoping ladders allow us to carry a lot of stuff around that is fairly lightweight and get in tight spaces. You should see some of the closets with the attics scuttle openings that we get in sometimes, and it's really pretty amazing that we can actually get in these. So those ladders really come in handy. We also use flashlight. Flashlight helps us see things and keep safe, that's for sure, especially in attics and crawl spaces. Yes, we do go in crawl spaces. Why do you go in crawl spaces? Well, I will get to that. Let's go back to the tools. Screwdriver, moisture meter, a gas leak detector, carbon monoxide detector. These are things that we use very commonly at inspections. Sometimes we use a monocular or binoculars because sometimes we can't get on roofs. And we need to use these to be able to get to some things. With our ladders, with our monoculars, some people use drones. These things are all things that we use to inspect roofs. And these are specialized tools, not just the ladder, not just the monocular, but inspecting a roof also takes place inside the attic. So it's important to see the attic spaces because we're looking for moisture stains and other deteriorated areas that would definitely affect the roof. Now, why do you not get on all roofs? Well, some roofs are unsafe. Some roofs have snow on them. Some roofs have ice on them. Some roofs are just too steep to get on. Sometimes the land does not give us a flat place to put the ladder. That's a very real fear and situation in that we have to inspect the house and be safe. Our bodies and our health are very important. And that is actually one of the standards and rules and regulations that we're held to with the Ohio law as well as with the whatever state you're in's law, as well as the certifications we're held to, that the inspector has to make judgments about keeping themselves safe. We are not going to stand in a pool of water and then take the electrical panel off. I say that humorously, but that's a real situation that I've actually been in. You don't want to touch an electrical panel if you're standing in a pool of water. Don't even need to explain that. Okay, so I've explained why we use the tools we do, and I want to go back to crawl spaces. Why do you call it a crawl space? Because you crawl on your hands and knees or your belly under the house. So that is not what some people mistakenly call the crawl space over the house, which is to say the attic, which may have a scuttle opening, which is that little door you go in. That's not the crawl space. That is actually the attic and a scuttle opening. So we do go in crawl spaces when it is safe. So we got to go back to the safe part. If there is standing water in the crawl space, we're not going to go in there. There could be a wire sitting in there, and that water could be electrified. You don't want to do that. We also have to make sure that the air that we're breathing is relatively safe, and that there's just not a whole lot of broken glass and maybe nails and so forth on the floor in the crawl space before we go in there. I've never really seen wild animals in crawl spaces. I've seen a couple snakes, but on this side of the Ohio River in Ohio, those snakes are not going to be poisonous, so I'm not particularly concerned about that. That being said, crawl spaces need to be safe and accessible. If it is a postcard size opening, sometimes we just can't get in there, and we can only take pictures from the opening and put our flashlights on and shine as much of that as we possibly can. So we have to, again, be very safe. The other thing, I want to go back to why you tell things at the inspection the way you do. Number one, let's remember that a home inspection is in fact an assessment of the house at the time of the inspection or the property itself. That being said, again, we don't want to just point out the negatives, the things that need fixing with the house. What does that leave? That leaves positives, and what else? That leaves an education about taking care of and owning the house. So we also want to give people some useful information to help them be able to own the house instead of the house own them. So why do you give people such education? And I have heard some realtors, they just want you to give the facts and they don't want any extra information and so forth. But to be honest, the inspection is all about establishing rapport with the client as well. They want to be able to trust you and trust what you are saying. So if you just point out negatives about the house, that's going to be one version. But also, if there are positives, you want to note those about the house as well as how to take care of the house. Are we going to give them a full education of how to do all the handiwork for the house? No. But basic caulking, basic cleaning, taking care of hardwood floors, taking care of a glass top stove. There are ways of cleaning that. Your furnace filters, where your emergency shutoffs are, and the list goes on. It's not that extensive, but we do want to give people a basic care of taking care of their house. And we've heard numbers of times, well, I'm not good with basements, or I'm not good with the outdoors. Well, you know what? There's no landlord. You own the house. You need to understand the outside of your house as well as your basement. And if you can't go in your basement, then don't buy a house with a basement. If you aren't good with the outdoors, I don't know what to say. Vines and trees and bushes and shrubs are going to be overgrown and cause different issues of wood destroying insects and pests and moisture if you do not manage that stuff. So we want to make sure we give people a good education, and that's why we do that. So again, we consider ourselves a consultant. We do want to give you that education about owning the house. We do want to give you an independent viewpoint, our viewpoint of what we see and experience of that house, of that day. We also cannot predict the future. Why can't you predict the future? Because every future is different for every house. Everybody's furnace, water heater, air conditioner, roof is different from one house to the next. But I will say this. We can give you some information and averages, and these are really useful to help you plan monetarily for your house. Let's cover a few of these as examples. If your water heater is 12 years old, how much longer is it going to last? I don't know, but on average, water heaters tend to last 15 to 20 years. Air conditioners, 15 to 20 years. Gas-fired furnaces, 20 to 25 years. Whoa, I just heard something. I just heard that the air conditioner is 15 to 20 and the furnace is 20 to 25. That's a 5-year difference. Yes, use that to your advantage as far as saving up in a home emergency fund for replacement of those items. Why, Richard, do you say the big four sometimes? Well, that's a great question. The big four are the structure or the foundation, the air conditioner, the furnace, and the roof. Those are your big four. Traditionally, those are the four most expensive items with a house. Yes, sometimes the overall electric and the overall plumbing can exceed one of those, but on average, those are the big four, and those are the four that you want to really manage so they don't put you in the poorhouse. Okay? So, take advantage, even though we can't predict the future. Know the averages. Know how long a water heater lasts. A typical 50-gallon water heater is about $950 at time of recording this to replace. So maybe you round it to $1,000. Air conditioners and furnaces have averages as well, and depending on the size of your house, the roof does as well. My dad used to say, think about the worst case scenario and work backwards. Okay? That's kind of self-explanatory. That's a real good way of looking at things, so you can always try to stay ahead of the game. Do you have a routine way of inspecting, and why do you inspect the house in a certain way? Glad you asked that. We have a routine. Routines help us to stay on our game so we don't miss things. It is very common to have somebody say, "What about this over here? Did you see that thing in the basement?" when we're still on the outside. Well, we haven't been in the basement yet. We've only been here 10 minutes. But I did take a 30-second nickel tour and ran through the house to find where everything is, turn on the lights, set the thermostat, put our tools down, and so forth. But no, I have not looked at that thing in the basement yet. We will get to that. It is really important that we do stay on our game and stay in our routine, which is to say we start with the outside and work our way to the inside, top to the bottom. When we're on the outside, we're going to be looking at the exterior grading of the land as it meets the house, the windows, siding, doors, trim, exterior plumbing fixtures, the air conditioner outside, the deck, etc., the patios, all the outside things. And we're going to be looking at those with perspective of where are those things and how do they relate to the things that are inside, such as the things in the basement. Then we inspect the roof. Then we come inside. We're going to be starting from the first floor. If it's one floor, then we're going to stay on that floor. If it's a concrete slab, then we are definitely going to stay on that floor. We look at the first floor, checking the plumbing fixtures, running a lot of these simultaneously to make sure the water pressure is normal and that there's no leaks. We're going to be checking all of the accessible plumbing fixtures, windows. Notice I said accessible. Remember the master bedroom bed again. Also, you could have a 72-inch TV in front of a window that really just does not enable us to get to it. We've also had large screen TVs blocking fireplaces, okay? So my point is, we do these things in this routine, and then we check the kitchen appliances, then work our way to the second floor doing the same thing, and then checking the attic, inspecting the attic, and then we will go down to the basement, which is last. Now, if there's a slab foundation, sometimes there's in-floor slab ducts, and we want to pull some of those covers off to make sure that there's no weird, creepy crawlies, mud, water, other things in those slab ducts. So that's one little caveat about slab foundations that we're looking for. Basements, we're going to be looking for the emergency shutoffs, the gas main, the furnace cover, the electrical main cover. Some of these may be in garages, and we've already looked at these. That's fine. Look for the water heater, water main, as I mentioned, checking the moisture levels of the basement walls, and then that's, again, will be all last. So at any rate, that is how that is going to go. So when we are done with the inspection, we've probably been there somewhere between 2 to 3 hours, very commonly, period. Sometimes inspections take a few minutes longer than that, and sometimes maybe a condo or something smaller, maybe it goes a little quicker. However, on average, 2 to 3 hours, and we like to always book 3 hours for the inspection. All right, that being said, why do you charge what you do? Why don't you just have the lowest price of any of the inspection companies? Well, that's a great question. And why doesn't the inspection only take an hour? So I'm going to answer both those questions. So I covered how long we typically are at the house. And we've often, people get kind of surprised when we say it's going to take two and a half hours for a 2,000 square foot house. And they're like, oh, I thought it'd take about an hour. Well, the point is we would definitely miss a lot of stuff. And we would skip a lot of stuff. And we would not be thorough if it only took an hour. So that's kind of a non sequitur, no-brainer there. That makes sense. And why do we charge what we do? Okay, so if you want to just be the lowest price hamburger joint, then you just drop your prices and you are the lowest price El Cheapo out there. That's not how at least our particular company is. We also are not going to be the super duper most expensive biggest national franchise cost. So somewhere in the middle. And I'm all good with that. Now, we also use really good software. We always answer the phone. And we like to do things, and our company motto is not your ordinary inspection company. So you will notice some different things that we do that I think is a little different. We really thrive on customer service, customer satisfaction, being available. I want to be available. I have to balance that with my family, but I always want to be accessible and available for questions, input, etc. These are little things that over 18 years our company has built on and we continue to do. So that's why we don't look at ourselves as a commodity. When people call and the first question they ask is, how much do you charge for home inspection? Well, let's back the train up a little bit. Why can't you just give me a price? Well, because a 1,500 square foot house is going to be priced differently than a 5,000 square foot house, and somebody just getting a home inspection without a termite inspection, without a radon test, and is going to be a different price than, say, a 5,000 square foot house where they're getting a home inspection, termite inspection, radon test, pool inspection, a visual septic dye test, a hot tub inspection, and an in-ground irrigation system inspection as well. So, and it also has three pole barns on the property that are approximately 2,000, 4,000, and 6,000 square foot each. So those things do add up, and those are different. And you're certainly going to have a different price for that. And for example, if it's a four-family house, then that's going to be a different price than a single-family house. So that's why we don't just throw a price out immediately. It's important to get a lot of information and understand the property that we are trying to give a quote on and to hopefully have that person take us on as their consultant to help them with what? With the greatest purchase that they are ever going to make in their life, the biggest purchase, and navigate those waters on an independent assessment of the condition of that house at the time of the inspection without being invasive, without being destructive. And therefore, and we will go on our routine way of inspecting the house, which is well practiced. We will have an inspection agreement, and they can ask tons of questions when they're at the house, and hopefully it is a good interactive experience, and they will get their report in less than 24 hours after the inspection. So that's why we do the things that we do. That's why I personally like being a home inspector and really love my career, because I get to be helpful on a daily basis. And sometimes people actually say that. Hey, you were really helpful and I really appreciate that. And we get good feedback, good comments, and good reviews. What does that make for? That makes for a satisfying career where you get to really help people with the thing that they spend time with their family, which is to say their house. Home is where the heart is, and if we get to help people make that true, I don't know a better career. So, quite honestly, that's how we answer our question of why. Until the next episode, this has been the Successful Homeownership Show with your host, Richard McKenzie, and thank you for listening.